today on My First Concert.
A little spoiled. My first concert was Pink Floyd, August 23rd, 1988, at the Nassau Coliseum, right outside the city, New York City.
That's the head coach of the University of St. Thomas Tommies, and that program that is now transitioning to Division I. Last year was their first year, and he's the head football coach, an award-winning, nationally recognized coach multiple times. But what you may not know is his love of music. We've actually attended concerts together, so we'll share some of those stories, including more of the clip that you just heard regarding his very first concert, which was remarkable. Coming up after that, on the second half of the show today.
I thought I was going to pee my pants. I was screaming. My friend Nina's like, what in the world? I'm like, oh my God. And then he did Journey songs, and it was so good.
That's Ginny Berg talking about her all-time favorite band, Journey. And also joining us along with Ginny is broadcast journalist Susie Jones, who in the second half of the show today will tell us a great story of her concert and her experience seeing the Grateful Dead, but not being quite sure who they were. It's an awesome story. It's all coming up on today's My First Concert. Dave Lee here. Breanne is with me as well. We'll talk some more. Our thanks to the folks at Star Bank for making the show possible, and also Propane, the environmentally friendly energy for everyone. I want to thank Harry and all the great folks out at Star Bank for joining us on this show. This is a family-owned bank. It's a great family culture and high service, and that's what you want from your local lender, don't you? Your banker, you want high service. You want to go in there and know that someone's going to help you and understand what you're talking about. And the great thing is that even when you call them, they actually answer the phone. I just think that is so unique. Who would have thought 10, 20 years ago that answering the phone was a big deal? It is. They serve the metro. They serve rural Minnesota as well. In fact, agriculture is no stranger to what they do. So if that's your business, get a hold of them, because they support the needs of local farmers and ag-related businesses. But they're a bank that serves the needs of us here right in the Twin Cities as well. And it's really cool to see how they reinvest in the communities that they serve. What you want to do, and in fact, it's our bank here at Talk North, just so you know, Star Bank is. So do we believe in them? Yeah, I think so. Face-to-face, great mobile app too. So if it's technology you're into, they do all of that as well. But they also got that real good old-fashioned feel of one-on-one, person-to-person. And they're, you know, they're big into sponsoring town ball out here in Minnesota, which is one of our great pastimes in the state. They do so many other things with their communities. But the integrity is beyond question. Their agility to call an audible for you in your particular situation. They know your name. You're not a number. And I would find out more about them. And that's easy to do. Go to starbank.net and tell them I said you want to chat with them, because they are really cool people. Well, let's head over to Coach Glenn Caruso today and find out what's on his mind and find out what his very first concert was. And Coach Caruso, I think people are going to find this intriguing. What was that first concert? Welcome back to My First Concert. Dave Lee here with Breanne. And, of course, you can go to the TalkNorth.com network and learn all about all the shows we have here on the network. Also, you can download this on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It's that easy. It's brought to you by Propane, the environmentally friendly energy for everyone. I'll tell you about that. It's a great story about that here in a minute. And also Star Bank. And you can reach them at any time at starbank.com. Net. Joining us today is a man that a lot of you know, particularly in the sporting world, Coach Glenn Caruso of the University of St. Thomas, now Division I program. Glenn has won all sorts of honors as a National Coach of the Year, and I think you know him for his football mind, and he has been a winner wherever he's gone. But his music knowledge is off the charts as well, and we've talked about that off the air. So, Coach, good morning. I appreciate your time, and I want to talk a little bit of music with you today, if you don't mind.
That's awesome. It's like a little surreal to be talking with you in a different venue talking about music, but I love it. And I absolutely love the core of what this podcast is about. So thank you.
Oh, are you kidding me? We've known each other for a long time, the last 10, 11, 12 years, Breanne. Glenn and I have talked a lot about a lot of things. And one time we somehow got into the music thing. And I found out, couldn't stop. And so, Coach Caruso, the title of the show, My First Concert, and You Have a Beauty.
Yeah, so a little spoiled. My first concert was Pink Floyd, August 23rd, 1988, at the Nassau Coliseum, right outside the city, New York City, with Jana Ott. I was in eighth grade, and we had football that started on Thursday. This was a Tuesday, and we ran into Ticketmaster in the next town over, and we got tickets for $8.50. $8.50, and I was spoiled. My first concert, we got to see Pink Floyd, and it was wicked cool and kind of set the stage. It didn't really spoil future concerts, even though they were amazing. But, you know, in 1988, I was 13 years old, 14 years old, something like that. And so right at the moment where you have this freedom, we took the train, you know, just two 13-year-old, 14-year-old kids. That's back when I don't think that was abnormal, and into the city and out to Nassau. And it was tremendous. They opened with Shine On You Crazy Diamonds. And it wasn't just like part one. It was probably like part one through four. And that's totally different now too, right?
Oh yeah. Well, and first one out of the chute, as you mentioned, that's a lot of pressure to go see the next band after that. But the concert itself, what do you remember about it beside the opening song?
The haze that was all over the crowd, and I'll never forget it. It reminded me a little bit of how I would feel when I watched my dad in a courtroom arguing a case, and it's a little bit of how I feel when we're on the sidelines nowadays in a really, really weird way. But the ebbing and flowing of emotions and the enormity of trying to be decent at getting everybody on the same page. Like those, all three of those things strike a very similar chord, no pun intended, with me. And they had that group in the palm of their hands. And it was pretty cool to see. And every concert I've gone to since, which is probably 60 or 70 in the last, 30 years, I always measure not just is the music good and those types of things, but I always measure it against, do they have control of the emotions of 20,000 people? And I just love it.
Your dad was your hero, is your hero. What did he think at 13 or 14 years old that the two of you were going to hop on a train and go down to the Nassau Coliseum to see Pink Floyd?
The two questions were, are you going to pay for it yourself? And the second question was, call by 10:30, because that was always the rule.
Yeah.
Just call by 10:30 and tell me what you're going to do. And he's like, hey, go do it. He never said, you know what? That's not true. My senior year, 1991, Simon and Garfunkel were playing the remake of the concert in the park, in Central Park. And I wanted to go so bad. And there was, you know, there was some that was coming off the riots and some of the Rodney King time. And that was just all happening then. And my dad said, you have football starting in 2 days. I don't know if you it could be 200,000 people in the park. And he said, I don't know if that's the smartest move to go to that one. I got to see him later, but that's the only one that he said not to. And thanks for bringing up my dad. The other one is he was responsible for bringing Harry Chapin. I don't know if you remember Harry Chapin.
Oh, sure do,
Dancing
yeah.
Boy. Okay. Father and son, Dancing Boy. So even though technically my first, Harry Chapin slept in my bed when I was about 6 years old because he brought him into our Catholic church to play a benefit concert. And we hosted him in our house. I don't remember the concert, but that was probably technically my first one. But if you remember back, you used to go to Shea or Yankee Stadium or wherever you went, and there would be concerts between doubleheaders. And we saw some great ones at the old Yankee and the old Shea, and there were some good ones then too.
Man, among those, do you remember any of those?
Well, Beach Boys, which I don't know. It was probably less of music. It was probably more like going to watch a play, watching the Beach Boys. But I do remember them. I do remember Jimmy Buffett. And I've probably seen Jimmy Buffett. He's my favorite to see in concert.
Are you a Buffett head, a parrot head?
Yeah, I'm not a parrot head because I'm not goofy like that. But and the songs that I like are not the ones that everybody like else likes. You know,
Pirate
Looks
Tried and
Fool.
True. Yeah.
I don't know. I think so. But yeah, we watched Jimmy. He used to go to Lake Compounds. Get this. in the 90s, you can pay $17. Lake Compounds is up in Bristol, Connecticut, up near the ESPN studios. And you can either buy a ticket to the concert for $15, or you can buy a ticket to Lake Compounds, which was a water park, for $17, and see the concert in the amphitheater when the sun goes down. So we did that. A couple other notable ones, I would say Steve Miller at Red Rocks in Colorado. Wicked cool. Like,
oh my.
If you've never been to Red Rocks and seen a sunset show, it was awesome. And you can imagine the light show that goes along with Steve Miller and just hard rock and 1970s stuff. That was cool. But summer of 89 was probably my most pivotal summer. We saw like back to back to back to back. We saw Elton John, Buffett. We saw The Who. We saw The Dead. We saw Rolling Stones on their Steel Wheels tour. That was cool. What was your best? Everyone has that one great summer where you just knock out a ton of them. What was yours, Dave? The Boscaggs?
Yeah, that's a great question, but I don't think there's any doubt that it would have been with ZZ Top, because they were kind of the band that we all went to see in the summer, and it seemed like they were everywhere. These guys were like, I don't know if they took a day off. They were touring all the time. So ZZ Top was the one that stands out for me. And that was actually the first band I ever saw. Coach, I mean, I saw Black Oak, Arkansas with Jim Dandy when they were the thing. And now we're going back before your time to Rare Earth. And I remember going to those, and, you know, you're just kind of starting to understand girls. And it was... those are good memory makers. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm in a pretty good mood all of a sudden.
What's the best venue you've ever been to?
You know, you mentioned Red Rocks. That I don't know how you can top that venue, but I would say, oh gosh, that's as far as venues are concerned, I've been to an awful lot of them. I mean, right here in town, I think of the Palace Theater. I think of the Ordway. If you could ever see a show in there outside of a musical, the venue in there is just gorgeous. Actually, our town is blessed with a lot of them. First Avenue and on the list. Although First Avenue is more known for who showed up and who played there, as opposed, I think, to the acoustics.
I never got a chance to see a show at First Ave. Now that I think about that, that's really odd. But, a lot of little neat ones, too. I mean, I remember you and me at the old Cambria Studios, and you actually told me we were watching like Billy Currington or someone, right?
I remember that. We were watching Billy Currington, but you know who else we saw before Billy?
You blew my mind. I didn't. Apparently, I saw him, but I had no idea who the big burly guy was, and it was
Chris Stapleton.
And Stapleton, kind of a big deal now, right?
Before he was Chris Stapleton, and we went up and chatted with him, and he was the nicest, most humble guy. But Billy Currington, I think, had the hit records at that point, as you know. Yeah,
that
was awesome. Chris Stapleton, meeting him before any of us knew. And who else I did that with? And I know you've seen them. Florida Georgia Line, where my buddy Tim Maurer's Best Buy in Apple Valley, when their first record was just coming out, which turned out to be a number one hit. And those two guys were just fabulous. I mean, as far as entertainers, but as people, even better. So if I were to, could you actually name a best concert you ever saw? A favorite?
If I had to pick one, it would have been Alabama and the Oak Ridge Boys at the Grand Ole Opry.
Really?
I mean, and look, it's not the best music I had ever heard, but if you're in the Grand Ole Opry, there is something that I love about the feel of Saturdays in the fall between 1 and 4 that is almost religious. And I think you know what I'm talking about when you have that deep-rooted love for a sport and what it does for a community. And being in the Grand Ole Opry was just, you know, the old Ryman. It's just really awesome. You get that same feeling. But I don't think I could choose one. The one I saw you at probably 5-6 years ago, the two of us and Mr. St. Peter were sitting there watching. So we were watching Kenny Chesney. And do you remember who opened up at Target Field for Kenny Chesney?
Oh, yeah. Really good band, for Pete's sake. You're going to have to help me out now, but it was
Zach Brown
band.
So
right.
This is what the thing I love about like a Zach Brown, and you alluded to it with FGL, is there are not a lot of people. And this wasn't like when he was putting his first album out, The Foundation. Like he had all of his big hits, and Chicken Fry was long in the rearview mirror, and he was who he is already, and he had no problem, like no ego, right, being the opening act for someone. And he came up there and he played, you know, he would play Caroline on My Mind, and he'd back it up with like Metallica.
He did Metallica, and he did it well.
He did Enter Sandman. I mean, it was just really awesome to see a guy who is wildly capable with no ego, high output, low ego, like you, honestly. I mean, right? He makes it his own. But Jason Aldean was also playing at that concert, and that was probably my favorite local concert, I would say. And then the next year we go back, and remember we used to sometimes go backstage and you'd meet the guys, and we're sitting there. The year before, I had told Kenny Chesney, I said, how many miles do you think you run on stage? You know, and he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, get one of these Fitbits, you know, just get a Fitbit, put it on you. And this was like 2014 or 15. So the next year we go into one of these meet and greet things, and Eric Church was there with that one too. And talk about the memory of a guy who has met a million people. Rachel and I go in to this little meet and greet, and Kenny Chesney looks at me, and he points to his wrist. He goes, hey, 8.5 miles, one show. How cool is that? Right?
It doesn't get any better than that.
So what a great memory.
Well, what a great insight you gave him to see how he's doing up there, because he stays in pretty good shape.
8.5, coach, 8.5.
You know, you made me think of one concert I forgot about at the Metrodome when you mentioned Zach Brown Band, and you and I listened to do a Metallica song, and I'm thinking, why are you going there? This, you know, Metallica's Metallica, because I really like them a lot. But when I saw them, I've seen them several times at the Metrodome one year. It was like five or six bands, Mudvayne, blah, 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 Linkin Park. But I forgot how good they were that night. So Metallica would have to be up there for me as well.
That what I appreciated about the Metallica was, much like Eric Church, and you'd be like, how do you put them in the same sentence, kid? But they told a story. Like, they took you on a journey through the couple hours. And it wasn't just come out and blow it out of the water, then bring it down, then play your big hits, number 3, 4, 5, and then make them cheer for the one that's on the radio now. It's not that. It was like he told a story as he meandered and navigated us through it. And Eric Church, I think, is one of the great marketing minds in music nowadays. Like, he totally gets human nature and how things move. And I guess there's only two bands that I could have seen that I haven't, but I hear Billy Joel does the same thing. I've never gotten a chance to see him live, but a lot of people would say the same thing. He'll bring you on a journey that's just, you know, very different.
Did you ever get a chance after that Central Park show in 1991 that you decided to wait and practice your football as opposed to going down to see Simon and Garfunkel? Did you ever get a chance to see them after that?
So I saw Simon. I didn't see Garfunkel after that.
Okay.
But so I did. I got a chance to see Paul Simon. That guy's like, you know, he was crazy in the 80s and 90s at his content that, I mean, he was just going everywhere. But no, I didn't. But you know what? Thank God for unanswered prayers, I guess. We won a state championship and had a pretty good year. So I think it was probably the right thing to do. What's the one that you'd like to see that you haven't?
Well, of course, first answer would be Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
That would have been unbelievable. I was just telling Brianne last week and our good friend Pamela McNeil and Bruce Helmer that I watched that Kennedy Center Honors when Heart came out and did Stairway to Heaven with Led Zeppelin sitting up in the audience being honored, watching them. And it was over the top good. I'm thinking, though, Coach, when I saw I got to sit and think about this for a second, but I saw Simon and Garfunkel, got a late invite, and I said, well, I'll go see him at the XL Energy Center when they kind of did a reunion tour. And if I remember right, Phil and Don Everly came out and sang three songs.
How cool is that?
I went to the show. I don't know where I'd been. I was tired. I was shot. But, you know, you don't want to miss anything. And so we went over there, and Julie and I were over there. And, again, we walked out saying, that was awesome. So from Metallica to Simon and Garfunkel, I mean, you just appreciate what they do, right?
Yeah. Have you ever seen Journey?
I have seen Journey. How about you?
I have not, but I'd love to. When I hear this new singer, not new, but the one who they've played with for the last 4 or 5 years, he's just amazing. Obviously, he sounds very similar, but I hear they're amazing. So not yet, but we'll get there. Hey, Journey's not going anywhere. They've only been doing this like 60 years. They got now like 20 in them, right?
Yeah, somebody's going to be around with the Journey label, no doubt about that. Well, your schedule gets crazy here in the next few weeks, I know, because football starts, and Coach, you've had a great run, and now you're doing the Division I thing, which has been I don't know if anybody's ever transitioned like you're doing from D3 to D1, so you got a lot on your plate. But when the time presents itself and I can get you out of football season, we're going to go to another show because it's been too long. There's so many around this market particularly.
Such a blessing. And, you know, one of the things about being in the upper Midwest is you get a lot more festivals than where we had grown up. There weren't a lot of festivals or fairs. And so as long as you plan it right, you can see some really neat folks. And then, you know, we have the casinos that, yeah, they might be on the B list right now. But you know what? 15, 20 years ago, they were it. And you're right, Dave. Let's plan on that. And thank you for the kind words. Just blessed to be able to do what we do here at St. Thomas, and looking forward to the season.
And your hometown, I never did ask you your hometown.
Kaskab, Connecticut. It's the first town that's in New England, right outside New York City. So right on the Atlantic Ocean. But yeah, that's where we had 3 blocks from our house. We had the access to the train that could take you from Boston to DC. You can be in the city in 25 minutes. And for a kid who wasn't 16 yet, but could afford the $1.75 fare all day, it was access to a whole new world back in the early 80s. And that was a blessing. Kaskab, Connecticut.
Coach, I will talk to you soon. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast today. Thank you.
Be well. Thanks for having me.
He is Glenn Caruso, head coach of the University of St. Thomas Tommies, and he is also a big music fan, and he's been our guest here on my first podcast, and you know something, or my first concert rather, which is my first podcast. But when you open up, Breanne, and your first concert is Pink Floyd at the Nassau Coliseum.
How do you top it?
Yeah, how do you top it? Taking a train, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Welcome back to My First Concert. Dave Lee here, Breanne with me as well, and joining us this morning, a couple of good friends that are music fans and got great stories. I do want to thank the folks at Propane, the environmentally friendly energy for everyone, for bringing this show to you. My First Concert at TalkNorth.com. Of course, that's where you go, TalkNorth.com. You can get all the podcasts right there, and you can download them wherever you go, Apple, Spotify, whatever it is you get your podcasts on. We're there. My First Concert is the name of it. Today, I welcome two friends, Susie Jones, award-winning broadcast journalist, and a very successful businesswoman, Jenny Berg. Jenny, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave. Delighted to be here.
And Susie, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. I couldn't wait.
Yeah, I know you couldn't, and I couldn't wait to see you. In fact, we have some good stories. Jenny, I'm going to start with the name of the show.
Okay.
My First Concert. What was it for you? Because you've been to a lot of them.
I've been to a lot of them, and I'm going to age myself really desperately.
Don't worry about that part. There's no judgment on this show.
No judgment.
Well, as far as you know.
Firefall and Brownsville Station.
Oh, together?
Together. Oh. In 1978 in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Brownsville Station was like everywhere for about the late 70s,
yes,
weren't they?
Smoking in the boys' room.
Who was the key band? Who was the show band?
Firefall was the key band.
Was the key, okay.
Brownsville Station was the opener.
Okay.
And it was festival seating. We got there early, so we got in early, and I remember there was 4 of us, and my friend Donna, there was such a crowd rush that when she got in the door, her sharp blouse was totally unbuttoned.
Was the 70s.
That was the 70s.
That was a rock show at the 70s. That's what we did.
That was my first concert. I went up from there, but that's okay. Susie.
My first concert was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That had to blow you away.
In 1976 at the St. Paul Civic Center. And they came out of, it was like a spaceship, and they came out from underneath. Because, you know, that was all.
Was that their album cover too at the
time? Yeah, with that spacesuit.
Yeah.
It was wild.
It was
such a fun night. You
so
know,
when they opened, everybody went nuts.
Crazy nuts, yeah. But, you know, in the St. Paul Civic Center and, you know, 76, I was in I think middle school, but my best friend and I went, Lisa, and we've been friends forever since the fifth grade.
You're still buddies.
We are best friends. And we've seen Earth, Wind, and Fire many times, but that particular night, got the tickets, probably Donna Lee drove us over there and dropped us off. And, you know, we were troublemakers. I don't know if you can imagine that or not, Dave.
Yeah, I did know that about you.
In the 70s.
That's why you're on the show.
We were hellraisers, that's for damn sure. But we weren't afraid of much. So,
well, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, I just saw them out at Mystic Lake, and I was stunned at how good they are.
Original band members yet?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah, including Philip Bailey.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know?
So, super fun. I listen to them all the time when I walk. Old school, mm-hmm. You know, I listen to my little throwback on Spotify.
Well, it's good dancing music.
Oh, it's such good dancing music. And that's the soundtrack of my kind of growing up. I know people have different genres or bands they listen to, but we listen to a lot of Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Parliament. You know, Marshall Yuhai, my high school, was pretty integrated. We had kids had kids from all over the city. We had handicapped kids. We had African American kids because they were getting bused in from over north. So we had flight time, Morris Day in the time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We had a lot of fun back in the day, and I've slowed down a lot, Dave.
I inducted one of your high school crushes into the Minnesota State High School Basketball Hall of Fame last year.
Ronnie Bull Henderson.
I told Ronnie that.
You did?
I said, my good friend Susie thought you were the hottest guy in town.
He was a great basketball player.
Yeah.
Ronnie Bull Henderson, Ginny.
Oh,
he was short but fast and just had command of the court. And we won the high school state basketball tournament in 1976. So
at Marshall.
Marshall University High School. By then, yeah.
So you made me think of George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, one of my favorite shows. And it was like somebody's coming in on stage, somebody's going off. It's so entertaining. And Earth, Wind, and Fire was a little bit like that. Always there's stuff going on. You know, like AC/DC was a little bit like that. Always something going on stage.
Yep.
And then you look at, now they had the video. Whatever's on the video is not what's happening on stage.
And you're like, where do I look?
And you can't get enough of it. So yeah,
I had one of those with Alice Cooper.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What a fun one.
In 19, from the inside, he had his when he was like in a straight jacket on the album cover. And it was 1979. It was at Dane County Coliseum in Madison. And he obviously had just quit drinking or something at the time. But the whole concert started out with this huge screen, and it was showing a beer bottle factory.
Oh.
You know, how the beers and all of a sudden, and it was watching that, and all of a sudden, one bottle. You start focusing on one bottle, and it starts trembling and shaking, and then all of a sudden it falls mouth out to the stage, and he jumps out of the bottle. He jumps out of the bottle through the screen, and it was phenomenal. And then the whole show was like that. He was in and out of the screen, in and out of the mental ward. I mean, for Alice Cooper was like one of the most crazy concerts, but it was so good because
he was an entertainer.
He was an entertainer, yep. But I remember them falling out of that beer bottle.
You know, and that's the thing about concerts. You know, you go to hear the music, but it's really a show. And a good performer isn't just going to play great music. They're also going to rattle your cage and dazzle you with fireworks and what have you. So that's great.
I was talking to Brianna about that, too. Sometimes you go to a show, you're kind of lukewarm.
Right.
Maybe you're going with a buddy, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and you get there and you're going because they like, and then you walk away just realizing how not only how good they were, but how they entertain.
Exactly.
I saw Bruce Springsteen in the 70s at St. Paul Civic Center, and a guy asked me on a date.
Wow.
Okay.
You went with him at the concert he asked you?
No. It was a date to go to the concert.
Nice date.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was me.
No.
It was at the concert.
I would have remembered that.
Because guys tend to get stupid at concerts.
Well, you know, you have a little cocktail, you have a little beer, you
That's
get a little
loose.
That's right. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, and I'm going to be honest here, I'm going to be honest with you kids. I'm not a rock and roller. I mean, I like rock and roll, but I'm not like like Steve Simpson, you know, he knows deep tracks on everything. Point being, I didn't really know. I knew the name, of course, the boss, but I didn't know much of the
song. You went to have fun.
Yeah. I went to have fun.
And then you recognize the music.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck? I like this guy. And I listened to a whole bunch of stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I would kind of have a feel for who it was I was walking into. But that was fun.
You don't want to embarrass yourself.
No.
I had that same thing with Queen.
Oh,
a friend of mine that I went to broadcast school with said, oh, we're going to take you to a concert. We're going to go see Queen at Dane Conley Coliseum. And this was in 1979.
Freddie Mercury.
And again, I went and I thought, I don't really know who these people are. And then every song I was like, oh my God. And when they did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, Lord.
Oh my gosh. It was just crazy because they had the stage they were singing and then the operatic part comes.
Oh,
the big screen and that's the video part of them. And they are off the stage. And then all of a sudden when that's done and the big flash of light and they come back out and finish the song, Freddie Mercury was amazing. That's one of my cherished memories. Is getting to
I wish
see
I'd
him.
Seen him. Never saw him. Oh. I saw the reincarnation of Queen with the guy that won.
With Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert. Yeah. And he was excellent. But I wish I'd have seen Freddie Mercury.
I saw the Grateful Dead at Alpine Valley.
Oh my.
I've been there too.
Summer.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say there were very few people in my group that were sober. On various, not alcohol only. There were other.
You're just being honest.
I'm being honest. Again, the Dead, you hear about them, you know about them, but did I really know? Whatever. And I listen, I do my little research before I go. So a guy in our group had an album cover that he wanted to get Jerry Garcia to sign.
At the concert?
Yes.
Oh, good luck.
He thought he was going to go up to the stage and see if Garcia would sign this. Because it was the cover was him, and he had his hand, Jerry Garcia, over his guitar in such a way that it looked like, I'm not sure if it was an album cover or if it's a photo he acquired, but it was Garcia sort of showing like almost like he didn't have a finger or two.
Right.
And it was a unique photo and he wanted to show it.
Yeah.
And the photo was from the back in the day, you know, when Jerry Garcia was a much younger man. So we sit down, same thing, crush, you know, when you have the door open and you go flying down the hill. And
worst thing ever, festival seating.
It was. It was. Yeah. Good thing it's outlawed.
Yeah.
That was a weekend too. We camped, as I recall.
Oh my.
Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, sit down, get ready. Show's going to start. Everybody's feeling actually no pain and, you know, seeing different colors. And he comes out to play and it's old Jerry Garcia. It's this fat guy with gray hair. And I said, who is that? I didn't have a clue. Oh, I'm like, is that? And then the guy's like, that's Jerry Garcia. I'm like, holy God, he doesn't look like that figure at all anymore. Yeah. What happened? Anyway, that was a fun night.
Yeah.
I had to drive, just put it that way. I was the least involved in the activities.
Drive home.
Yeah, back to the campground.
Yeah, that was always an adventure as well. And then, Jenny, when we come back, you met Steve Perry.
I did.
I'm going to ask you about that if you don't mind.
No problem.
Show's brought to you by Propane, the environmentally friendly energy for everyone. Dave here, and we're all talking and buzzing about reducing carbon emissions, which we should because it's good for all of us, right? I think the question that we all have is how in the world do I do that? Well, using propane, excellent way to reduce emissions while meeting energy needs today. It's clean. It's non-toxic. It's an energy source that helps reduce carbon emissions. So think about that. And it does it right now. But this is interesting. You're going to say, well, I don't know what a carbon intensity score is, but I can kind of give you numbers to give you an idea. Propane's carbon intensity score in this state of Minnesota is only 80. Okay, keep that in mind. You know all about grid electricity here in Minnesota, don't you? You know all about wind and solar power. That has a much higher carbon intensity score of 136 than propane has of 80. Who knew that using propane was that much cleaner than electricity? So now you know that, and you should know there's abundance of propane. The growth of this renewable propane means it can be used for generations down the road, long beyond us. So millions of us rely on propane, heating our homes, heating our businesses, fueling vehicles. I was with somebody the other day with propane in their truck. On road and off, much more makes propane the right energy really right now. So find out more about what propane can do for you and the environment, by the way, by going to propane.com. Jenny and Susie are with me. Jenny, Steve Perry, what happened?
So I am a huge, huge Journey fan with Steve Perry. The other guys, not so much. at all, but Steve Perry. So anyway, Steve Perry has left the band and he's going out on his solo tour. So I'm living in Boston at the time. And so we get tickets. It was like a state theater type place, venue. And the day, and of course I work for a radio station in Boston. So the day of the music station next to me said, hey, we can get you backstage passes because they knew I was a Journey fan. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to meet Steve Perry. So I called my friend Nina and I said, Nina, we're going to go backstage. So we went backstage. He was sweet as can be. The lady ahead of me was like going all gaga over me and goes, listen, I'm just like you. I'm nobody special. Yeah. And he was just really, really sweet. And so then we go to the concert and he signed a picture for me, which I have framed in my office. And we go to the concert. We are the first row on the second balcony, on the balcony, and we have really great seats. So the first half of the concert, he's singing Steve Perry songs. Okay, fine. All of a sudden, down from the center of the stage comes this hanger with his red tux ties on. You know, he had a tuxedo tail that he always wore in concert. I know that because I'm a Journey freak. So he always wore these tails in concert. And he pulled down this red tails, and he starts walking around it like, so where have you been? I heard you had cancer. You know, like all these rumors about himself. Then he takes the hanger, takes it off the hanger. I'm getting so excited I can't even stand talking about it. He takes it off the hanger, faces us, puts it on his self, turns around. His hair was in a ponytail. He had long hair at the time. He pulled out the ponytail. I thought I was going to pee my pants. I was screaming. My friend Nina's like, what in the world? I'm like, oh my God. And then he did Journey songs and it was so good. But when she's like, I don't get this jacket. I'm like, you have to know. You just have to know. And it was phenomenal. But that was just such a memory. Nina she looked at me like, who are you?
Yeah, you've lost your mind. Now, how many times have you been backstage, Dave Lee?
A few times. Yeah, not
anything
a lot
memorable?
Well, this is more about you two than me.
Well, you can share a story.
I would say of the people I've met, we've all, you know, been an opportunity, just because of our jobs, had an opportunity to meet an awful lot of people. Meeting Taylor Swift with my wife, and all Taylor Swift wanted to do was ask her about what she was wearing. Where did you get those shoes? Tell me about that purse. Tell me about what you do.
Wow.
And then of course, my wife, as you know, who's not very bashful, right. She says, well, what about that? You have this on. You know, they both know their fashion.
Sure.
And it was like Taylor Swift, the last thing she was concerned about is her.
Right.
She was just, all she wanted to talk to was my wife.
Sure.
And about, you know, you guys know my wife. Yeah. Well,
Julie, love her.
She just, it was like, and I was so impressed. I mean, obviously she did have, you know, a ton of time for the Daver, which I didn't understand. But no, but I was just so overwhelmed at how she got it.
Right.
We all know about her. We all want to talk about her. Oh, you know, I met Taylor Swift. And I would say at the time, I like Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, you know, my daughter loves Taylor Swift.
Sure.
I wasn't
a fan.
Sure.
I wouldn't say a fan, but I like all music.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't probably have been a show I went to. And ever since that, I can't get enough of her. She's the way she handled everybody that she saw. And not just with her. I mean, she did the same with me, but not everybody she saw. There were just very few of us standing there. It was all about everybody else.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Nice to hear.
Yeah. So that's my brief story.
Okay.
Now back to Susie.
I'll tell you my backstage story. It's a good one. It's a doozy.
Okay.
As you know, I had a show with Eleanor Mondale on WCCO radio. Very sad. She passed away. We miss her.
You were close friends.
Yes. And every famous person we interviewed, I would always ask her what her relationship was with them. And oftentimes she knew a lot of celebrities intimately, not always carnally, but she was very close. Like for one time, she was at a dinner party at Liz Taylor's house, and she sat next to Billy Bob Thornton, and she was sure that when we were interviewing him for something that he wouldn't have remembered her, and he remembered her delightfully. Well, of course, Eleanor.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, hard to forget her.
So Don Henley, the Eagles.
Yep.
We interview him.
I remember that
They're
day.
They're coming to the They were in town, all of them. And I look over at her, as we do, off, you know, while we're live on the air, and I say, with my eyes, like, did you know him? And she nods, mm-hmm. And then another gesture was made, and then we tried to not laugh, but we're talking to the guy, Henley, live on the air, and he gives us, her, 4 backstage passes to meet him and go to the show. Well, she decides that being that she's married to Chan Poling and that her mom and dad are alive, that it really wouldn't be proper etiquette to go to see someone that you've had relations with while you're married to someone else. So she gave them to me and our producer, Jill Oliveira, and Jill's husband, Charlie, went, and my boyfriend at the time, Bob, went. And we go in there, and
he's disappointed.
He was disappointed. It was the weirdest scene. It was the weirdest scene because, you know, the Eagles, right? I'm standing on the ring. And all 4 of them had separate rooms. Nobody talked to each other.
Yeah, we learned later they weren't the best friends, were they?
No, hated each other.
Couldn't stand each other. And I was like, this is the most unfriendly, uncelebratory group.
Was this before the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they all come out in black suits and they're sitting in chairs. I mean, they're all 78 years old. And they're like, we're standing on the road. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, and it was sad because it was like, you realize they were just making money.
Right.
Yeah. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. They played all their songs. Bing, 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 bing.
And good. They were still good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But the spark,
it wasn't there.
No.
No.
Was Glenn Frey alive at the time, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Back when he died.
But who's the Joe Beck? No, am I going to, or
oh, Joe Walsh?
Walsh? Joe Walsh.
He was in the room.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't meet him. He didn't want anything to do with us. But anyhow, so we had a few words with Henley and and then it was fun. But that was my experience with that.
Well, getting to meet the Eagles, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah, I love the
Eagles.
They
were so good. What else, Jenny?
Yeah, you've got a couple.
I got a couple. I mean, I've seen Bob Seger. Bob Seger was, when A Stranger in Town came out, I was all over that. I wore that album out, literally, had to buy a second one. But what's funny about Seger is growing up, I have a brother 8 years older than me. And for one Christmas when I was like 10 or so, 6, 9, 10, I asked Dad for a record player. Well, he bought a Wurlitzer jukebox that lit up the entire neighborhood.
That is an industrial strength record player.
So, and all the records on there were the little 45s from my brother. Uh-huh. So it was Red Rubber Ball, Son of a Preacher Man, Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I heard Ramblin' Gamblin' Man growing up, I thought of Richie and Mike and Greg and the boys, you know. So I go to see Bob Seger, thinking Stranger in Town is his first album, right? You know, how do I know? And I go see him at Dane County Coliseum. He does his second encore, and he starts Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, and I fell off my chair. I'm like, oh, my God, he did that?
That was his first hit?
That was his first hit in 1969. And to this day, last time I saw him, he was at St. Paul. Susan Thompson went with me. And when he said, this hit's from 1969, I screamed so loud, and Sue goes, what? And I'm like, this is Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
One of the great songs of all time.
One of the great songs that lost like 2 minutes and 10 seconds. It's not very long.
Well, for disc jockeys, man, you loved a 2:10, and you loved one at about 8.5 minutes. You liked...
Gotta go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Whatever he might be doing.
I had no idea he'd done that.
Wow. Yeah.
Since I've seen Seger like 6 times.
He didn't have a hit for a while.
No.
And then boom, then he just...
Then Stranger in Town came out, and that was all wrote. But so that was pretty cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Incredible guy.
Of course, I saw Tina Turner, Private Dancer.
Oh.
Well, now I remember that.
Yeah.
I had tickets for that and ended up in the hands of you and Barb. And
no, I wasn't there at the time. I was working in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
So they just loved Tina Turner so much, and I wanted to see her, but they were so...
Who'd you give the tickets to?
Barb Piazza.
Barb Piazza, an old, wonderful gal, worked at CCO for many years in traffic.
She just loved her, and she came back and had such a great time.
Aww. It was awesome. We didn't...
But that was simulcast. You remember, like, the first 2 or 3 songs were simulcast. I don't know, it was MTV. Somebody had it.
Oh, probably.
Because I went home
probably
and
MTV.
I watched the first 2 songs somewhere. Somebody carried it live, which was totally unusual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so I got to see a couple of songs.
So I was working in Marshfield at the time, and we were trying to get tickets to it, couldn't get tickets to it. So we asked our manager, and so he had a contact down in Milwaukee, and so they got us tickets to go see it.
She was so good.
I saw her too about 6 times.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's another one that a lot of us had crushes on.
Yeah.
You made me think of Bob Seger, because Bob Seger did Nutbush City Limits.
Yes.
And nobody did it like Tina Turner did.
Nobody did it like Tina.
Because that was just, just like Proud Mary when they did that. Wow, Tina Turner. So that was a great show.
Tina Turner. I've seen several people, Paul McCartney, when he was with Wings, saw him in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh, my.
And boyfriend at the time, he got us tickets because I said I want to go see McCartney, as far as he paid for him. So we get we're 15 rows from the stage, center stage on the floor.
Yeah.
And he came out and Jerry goes, oh my God, he's here, and he really did show up. And it was so great. Yeah. So great. It was
Seen Elton John?
About 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
First time was at Madison again, Dane County Coliseum.
Did you grow up in Madison?
No, I grew up in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin by Eau Claire.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But anyway, and Elton John, I was the last seat in the stadium. And your binoculars didn't even get him close.
But
I've seen him several times too.
You know who I had the last seat in the house for? The highest, furthest away seats? Steve Martin.
Oh, really?
When he did, I think it was a Let's Get Small tour.
Sure.
Yeah.
At Northrop Auditorium and very last two seats. I could hear him though.
That's good.
Susie and Ginny, thanks for coming over.
Oh, my goodness.
This is fun, Dave.
You can just keep talking. I got more stories coming out of me just like this, but I got to shut up, huh?
Yeah. We'll come back then. I see we're
getting the hammer.
Brianna's got stuff to do.
Yeah. I guess so.
And we'll do it again.
This is fun.
I know you got more to share. Probably on your camping. There might be something that's camping related that might be worth our time. Hey, thank you for joining us here on My First Concert today. Again, we're available on all the places you would expect, on Apple and on Spotify and everything else. My First Concert at TalkNorth.com. And our thanks to Propane, the environmentally friendly energy for everyone, for making this possible. Dave here, along with Brianne. We will see you next time.